Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and welcome to our show tonight. And we are back live here last evening. Today, I was shooting a scene for the TV show Modern Family, and I just want you to know that so that you can know what a big deal I am. And
yeah, you got the picture up on the homepage and everything.
I'm kidding. I don't mean I'm a big deal. I just wanted everybody to know that's what we were doing, and that they can see their buddy Phil on Modern Family at some time in the future. I don't know when the episode will air, but it was a great deal of fun, and it's what I call, you know, Daddy has to go to work and earn a living. So that's what I was doing today, and I want to thank publicly everybody at Modern Family for the wonderful time I had. I mean, everybody is so professional. It's no wonder the show is a success. Everybody there knows what they're doing, and they've got their, you know, they have their thing down, man, and they are very, very to a new actor showing up. You know, I'm not part of the team there, you know.
But they like pretending like they didn't know you?
No, they didn't do that at all. They were very friendly, and they say, hey, Phil, nice to have you. And I sat and I talked to Ed O'Neill for several minutes before we went and shot the scene. He's a hell of a nice guy, and Jesse Ferguson is another terrific guy, and no wonder the show is so successful. I think when people are, they have their system down and they have the process and they know what they're doing, they know what their show's about, they support each other, and everybody is on and everybody's professional and very friendly. Like I said, no wonder they're, and kudos to them, congratulations to them. That's the way it ought to be. So it was so much fun, and I thank them. And again, we'll get you guys the heads up when we find out when the episode is airing. And
what about that movie, too?
This is 40, which is with Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd and Albert Brooks, and your buddy here, Phil, with a small scene in that movie. It should be out, I think, in, I don't know, you know.
Well, that makes that clear.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know, man. What do you want me to say?
Well, when do you think?
I heard the summer, and then I heard January. Does that nail it down for you? That's two completely different seasons. So I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to bring on the line here in a moment Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier to talk about an important story. AT&T Sprint phone users sue carriers over tracking. Have you heard about this? This is a lawsuit that has been filed by consumers. And these are people that use AT&T and Sprint phones. And they are suing these mobile phone they're suing because of mobile phone tracking software that has been installed on their devices, and they say that it violates wiretapping and computer fraud laws. Now, the lawsuit cites a YouTube report by a technology blogger that purported to show that carrier IQ software applications and web browsing and even the keys they press are this kind of tracking or access this kind of tracking software. Four consumers filed the complaint today in federal court to block the carriers and the phone makers from using the software. And our entertainment reporter from the Courier is Doug Danger, and he joins us. And Doug, I know you're doing a series of articles on this. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program.
So you have investigated this up to this point. What have you found?
Phil, one of the companies that I talked to that makes this kind of software is a company called Pathway Communications. It is a software that enables the phone company to track a telephone if it's lost, if it is stolen, to track a telephone if for whatever reason it leaves the possession of the person that purchased it. And as I got into this investigation, as I talked to different people, and I applied some of just good old-fashioned reporting elbow grease, and it's fortunate for me. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I've used my experience as a gay man, as a gay journalist, to, find out whether people are telling me the truth or not. And I found that there's a little bit of subterfuge going on with the consumers, not with the companies. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Some of the people that are suing?
Well, I don't know about the people that are suing, but I do know that there are people who are complaining about having this kind of software on their phone, and they don't give credit to the companies. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason I point that out is because I talk to people, I interview people, and if I get the feeling that someone has given me some kind of a, what we used to call down south, a do-si-do, you know, they're giving you a little bit of a dance and a bow and a two-step, and that's all fine. And like we say down south, that's very polite, and that's how the dance goes, but at the end of the dance, you're going to wind up without a partner. And I think that's what's happening here. What's happening here is the consumers are looking for an easy dollar. And
well, isn't it true that this tracking software, whatever this may be, is a little scary? You buy a phone.
I don't think so. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I'm bringing that up because when I investigate something, and I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist, which gives me a view into the reality of a situation, because I can cut through an awful lot of baloney. All right? I was talking to one of these consumers. I said, look, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. What I do is I don't, you know, there's no quarter given people who are trying to give me a do-si-do or trying to shuck and jive me. Now, if you want to tell me the truth straight, and I was talking to this one young lady whose name I will not give, she said that she's suing, or she would join this lawsuit because it's a good opportunity to make money. But I said to her, but you know as well as I do, you lose phones, don't you? And she looked a little sheepish. I said, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I know when people are going to start to give me a dance and a song and a dance. And she finally said, yes, I do. I said, I bet you've lost. I said, how many phones have you lost? She said, I've lost probably 3 or 4 phones over the last 5 years. So these are people, Phil, that at the end of the day, these are not very grateful people.
Grateful? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because the software is there to help people track a lost phone, and it's there to help people recover a lost phone, because this is a problem. And when you turn around and you sue a company that is trying to help you find a piece of very valuable equipment that American consumers are losing by the thousands, it seems, every day, and then people turn around and sue them because they call this tracking software an invasion of privacy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this tracking software. And we're talking to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He is a entertainment reporter about a lawsuit that has been filed against AT&T and Sprint, or at least they're AT&T and they're Sprint phone users. And yes, they're being sued by people that use these phones because of this mobile tracking software. Let's talk about this software. Exactly what is this stuff?
Well, you know, I looked into this, and it is a very, very simple situation here, Phil. We've got the same kind of technology in a lot of ways that we use on our cars. We have the same kind of technology that we may use, as a matter of fact, on a dog collar if we want to find a lost dog. It's a simple little radio transmitter. It might have a couple of other features to it so that it interfaces with the phone a little bit more readily. But, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm looking at this, and I'm talking to some of the experts, and I said, look, I'm gay, and that means you're not going to really be able to get anything by me, so go ahead and give it to me straight and just dispense with the normal cheap sales talk that you give people. And you do see people kind of step back a little bit and look at you and go, all right, now I know what I'm dealing with, you know.
Well, you're going in and you're telling a guy you're a gay man and a gay journalist, which means you can't be lied to?
I'm going in and I'm telling a guy, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so dispense with your cheap sales talk. That's what I'm saying. Take off your cheap salesman suit and let's talk real. Look, there's people that Phil, there's people that are going to talk straight to you, and there's people that got their cheap sales pitch. I don't need that.
And, all right, but you're not even buying anything, so what did they tell you?
Well, what they told me was, you're right. We are trying to track phones, but we're only trying to track phones because of people that lose them. We're not looking to spy on people. I said, well, what is what is this technology? They said it is a simple technology we can track using global positioning satellite to find out where the phone is. There is a very, very small sensor, what's called a combination sensor mic and camera. And what that does is it senses through this mic and camera, microphone and camera, where the phone is. Is it inside something contained? Is it outside? Is it sitting in a car? Is it being used by someone? And that gives us information, or gives them information on whether the phone was actually stolen or whether it was lost. And it also, and here's the very funny part about this, Phil, most of these phones are lost by consumers, and they were never stolen, and they were never lost anywhere other than in their own home. In other words, they find these phones 6 months later. The company can go into this software and find out where that phone is by activating this sensor and taking a look through that camera. And
well, that right there, there's what the problem is.
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Well, the camera.
Well, you didn't hear what I said. The camera is for simply locating the phone, finding where the phone is, what are the surroundings. Is it in the house? In other words, is it in the house of the person that says they lost it? See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When I said to the guy, I said, look, you can keep your cheap sales talk and you know what you can do with it. I said, well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want the straight story here. Are you guys activating that camera for anything other than finding that phone? He said, I swear to God, and he used those words, I swear to God, no, we're not. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil, and I've been at this for a long time. And I can tell you that what's happening here, people are losing their phones. These phone companies are trying to do them a favor by tracking the phone, and what do they get for their trouble? Somebody turns around and sues them. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that's what I see. And
that is your conclusion.
That is my journalistic opinion based upon the facts. Yeah.
So these companies are doing this kind of tracking, using this kind of software to simply find lost phones. They're using a camera. Is this in all the phones?
This is in this Pathway telecommunication that I talked to, and he said with a few other companies.
Because I know that they have these cameras in iPad or in laptops.
Yeah, but some of them have them in the phone. And I said, are you using these cameras for anything other than finding the phone? Are you trying to get your kicks or whatever? They said, this man says to me, I swear to Almighty God. And I said, well, I don't care. I don't believe in God. But I said, if you do, he says, I do. He says, I swear to God, no, we don't.
All right, we're talking to Doug Danger here from the Orange County Courier on the software used by certain phone companies to track phones. Well, the phone companies are being sued by some consumers now. The consumers saying that this violates federal wiretapping and computer fraud laws by having this tracking equipment on phones that they use. Doug Danger is saying all the companies are trying to do is all of us a favor because we lose so many phones. They're simply trying to track the phone for us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back with your phone calls and more from Doug Danger right after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, where our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking tonight, starting our show off tonight, with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here in California. Doug is an entertainment writer, and he's talking about the lawsuit that has been launched by some consumers against AT&T and Sprint because of this tracking software that is on some phones. The tracking software, which, Doug, you tell me, because you've done interviews with people who've developed the software, is simply to help people find a lost phone.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. If I may.
Go ahead.
You know, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason why I keep bringing that up is people are going to say to me, oh, well, you know, look, that's what they tell you. Look, I know when someone is trying to feed me a bill of goods. There's such a thing as copping to the reality. The American people lose telephones left and right. The American people lose a lot of things left and right, but one of the things they do lose is telephones. And these telephones that the American people are losing eventually, of course, wind up in a river under a sofa someplace, but they are not with someone that stole it. And how do we know? We have now the sophisticated technology to find out not only where the phone is located, but what exactly the environment that it is in. And that's what the sensor phone, the microphone, and...
Well, the camera, though, some people may find a bit invasive.
No, again, you know, quit trying to make this about the company and own up to the fact, as a consumer, that we are butter-fingered and sloppy and lazy and we lose phones. I'm just telling it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I have to just give you it straight. The fact of the matter is the American consumers, are losing phones, and we have to do something about that. What do we do about it? Well, we develop some software to help track these phones. You develop the software, you put a small microphone and a camera on the phone, and the next thing you know, as thanks for the effort that the companies have been making, they get sued. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't play that. And
well, I don't know what that means. What do you, you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you don't play that.
I just got done telling you, I don't like dishonesty. You understand what I'm saying?
And well, you're saying this is flat-out dishonesty by the American consumer because they don't want to admit the fact that they just lose phones.
Absolutely. And look, this is a pattern. The American consumer and the American people in general have had this sort of sociopathic pattern, which is, it's not my fault. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm able to see that, and I bring that to my reporting.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Your conclusion is basically the American people are wrong and these companies are right, but these companies are being sued. Here is Will. Will, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, how you doing? Anytime you bring a camera and a microphone into your life where you don't have sole control over it, you open yourself up to all kinds of foolishness. You know, because...
Well, I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true.
Well,
I mean, that may be the paranoia. That might be the fear.
Well, whether it's paranoia or not, the ability to hack into your phone, the ability to track you, the ability to listen in on your life, any way you have that phone, I mean, it's very invasive.
You know, if you buy a dog, you have just brought into your life something that's going to bite you and give you rabies. Is that how you view that? Or do you view that dog as companionship? I think if we as consumers make the right choices and we take the right steps, we don't have to be afraid.
Well, wait a second. How does a consumer who buys...
If you bring into your house and you bring an open camera of which you do not have sole control over, you open yourself up to a whole lot of foolishness. I'll say it again. If you don't understand...
I don't know where you get that. How do you know that? How are you going to... How do you know that? I don't base this on speculation. I base it on reality.
Well, the ability...
And the reality is... People are losing phones a lot more than they're getting photographed by somebody off in, you know, the fifth dimension.
Let me ask you a question. You said this phone, right, can be tracked, right? So obviously the ability is there. Whether you got someone, you know, on the other end that's doing the tracking is, you know, moral...
Anybody can be tracked.
Yeah, well...
You're not listening to me. Anybody can be tracked.
Yeah, but
what... You understand I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been doing this kind of work for a long time.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but in any case...
As a gay man, what I'm saying is as a gay man... As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I don't get... No, sir, I'm saying as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can get to the truth. And when I asked this guy, and I said, are you using this for any other reason other than to track the phone that's lost? He said, I swear to God, no, I'm not.
But that's one of thousands of people that's working for that company. Everybody at
company. He was the developer. He was the software developer.
At that company.
No, sir. He's the software developer. Okay.
So what if he's a software developer? He's the guy that's developed the software, but is he the guy that's monitoring the phone?
Hold on, guys. He's the guy that developed the software to track the phone, and he's going to know whether he's handing this over to a bunch of sick creeps that want to look at your wife changing her underwear or whatever it is you guys are worried about. I'm saying that...
Well, no, but wait a second. I don't doubt the man's motives that developed the software. I want to find people's lost phones.
Hey,
okay?
Phil,
all right.
Okay.
Phil, the guy
so if the guy's motive...
Atomic- bomb was very remorseful after he made it because they were using it for war. All right, when you put the technology out there,
that's the funniest thing I've heard. Are you trying to tell me the guy that developed the atomic bomb didn't think it was going to be used for war?
Well, he was very remorseful afterwards.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You're a gay man and a gay journalist. We're talking about Robert Oppenheimer, who said the very famous line from the Bhagavad Gita, "Now I become death." Yeah, all right, thanks for calling. I don't know.
What do you mean the Bhagavad Gita? Why don't you stick to what it is we're talking about?
All right, we'll stick to it. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger, 877-876-PHIL, suing the phone company for spying on you. What do you think?
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to get back to Doug Danger in just a moment here on the program. Doug talking with us about consumers suing phone companies for this tracking software that's on the phone so that lost phones can be found. Well, some consumers consider that to be a violation of federal wiretap and consumer fraud laws, and Doug has been doing his own investigation for the Orange County Courier. He says he sees nothing wrong with the tracking software. It's simply there to help people find lost phones and the consumers being a little ungrateful. 877-876 is our number. Just want to remind you that we're online every night on the Phil Henry Show on Phil TV in HD. We have our daily video casts, which we have here for you. We start our video casts early, about 9:30 in the evening Pacific time. That would be 12:30 Eastern time. So you can avail yourself of that if you have a backstage pass, and you can watch our video casts and some behind-the-scenes stuff that we do. We also have a five-day video archive on our site, so you can look at any shows that you've missed. We also have the largest archive of the funniest damn radio show in the history of the planet Earth, our show. And when I say the largest archive, full shows that go back about 12, 13 years. We have daily podcasts that are available of the previous night's show. We have individual character bits, TV appearances, interviews, and pilots that we've done, radio interviews, rare animated webisodes of our bits as well. It's all there at philhenryshow.com, so be a part of our family here and get a backstage pass. And, of course, also inside news and what's happening here in the marvelous life of Phil Henry and everybody else. In fact, we gave our backstage pass listeners the very first word on doing the Judd Apatow movie and doing Modern Family, and then I don't know. They get a scoop.
Yeah, everybody like worked for Entertainment Magazine. They get a scoop if they did it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, so if Rona Barrett, I don't know who the hell's out there.
Not Rona Barrett, but like TMZ and Harvey Levinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Levinstein, if you should. All right, so thanks very much for that, bud. And so join us, won't you, at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. All right, Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier in Santa Ana, California tonight. Doug, we've got some people hanging on. I want to get to their phone calls. My initial question then would be the following, and this will lead into the phone calls. People are, and the last gentleman had a very good question and a very good comment. You can say that you got this information. The guy says to you, I'm not a liar, and I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you can pretty well ferret out if someone's lying or not. But still, if you have a camera...
Whoa, hold on for just a minute, okay, Phil?
But if you've got a camera and a microphone...
Hold on for just a minute, okay? Hold on, because I know where you're going with this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'd like you not to do is tense up on me and get that kind of reactive homophobia.
I'm not being homophobic. You're a gay man and a gay journalist.
So that means that I've put up with enough discrimination in my life to know when someone's trying to yank my chain. Now, the guy said to me over at Pathway Communications, I swear to God, the only reason why I created this software was to help people track their phones. I said, well, you understand, you have a camera and a microphone in that. He said, what kind of resolution do you think I'm going to get on a camera like that if I really did want to see somebody taking their underwear off or what have you? What kind of resolution do you think I'm going to get? I said, well, you can remotely increase the resolution. He said, yes, I could, but I'm not going to do that. And I said, why? He said, I just told you. That's not what I developed this for.
and you believe him.
What? That's like asking, you know, that's like asking, the weatherman says it's sunny out, and you believe him?
I could go outside and see the sun for myself, you know.
Well, yeah, or you can believe the weatherman. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. In your world, and in the world of your listeners, that's the same thing as a really good weatherman. And it's something that I've fought to get people to understand, and I'm still fighting that fight. Even with people that I consider friends like you, Phil, I'm still having to fight the fight. It's still an uphill battle, even with a friend like you, who, even though you are my friend, you like sitting on the top of that hill and kicking dirt on me as I'm clawing my way up the hill.
No, I do not, Doug. I asked very, very simple questions, I believe, that I think, that I believe need answers. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Chris on the line. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Doug Danger.
Hey, Phil and Doug. How you guys doing?
Real good, sir.
Well, listen, Doug, I am a heterosexual man and a heterosexual consumer. And as a consumer...
I bet you think you just said something real original there, huh?
I was picking up on your theme because you've said it probably too much.
I'm trying to make a point about no, but see, when I say that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, that's a credential that shows you my expertise. When you tell me you're a heterosexual consumer, that tells me you lose phones.
Hey, Doug, have you ever gone past the clothes? You're using it too much. Here's the point: you're missing. People do
past
not
the clothes.
Want their People
what?
Do not want their privacy invaded. It's invasion privacy. If I make a contract, Doug, if I make a contract with AT&T and I check a box and I said, would you like the option to have a camera and a tracking device? Well, that's my choice. But to have that put on me involuntarily, well, you know, Doug, that's not right. That's un-American. That's just un-American.
No, when you get the phone and you look at the brochure and you look at all the things that are on that phone and you buy it, what are you talking about, check a box? Because that's a feature that's on your phone. Now all of a sudden you find out, oh, look at this feature that's on my phone and I wasn't smart enough to look at the information before I bought the phone. Now I'm going to turn around and sue?
Well, no, wait a second. Is that what's...
We're not talking about something as simple as... We're not talking about whether I have a Wi-Fi connection or whether... If I have tracking that someone can, on their own, like the gentleman before this said, a lot of nonsense can happen, and it's not paranoia because I've already... plenty of times have been demonstrated with invasion of privacy, and if you open up that
When's any phone company done that? When has any phone company used that camera to look at your wife taking her clothes off?
It's not about that. It's not that perversion that
you're
adding to. Listen, it's your paranoia is about the perversion, okay? I think you're caught up in all of that. You're caught up in all of that. That's why you're the gay man.
Don't you think that's what... Isn't that what people are afraid of? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
What about your gay...
Isn't that what people are afraid of?
Well, maybe they don't want to see a gay lover taking off his underwear.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm not talking about the phone company. We're talking about... You were saying it's an invasion of privacy. And I'm saying that it's not.
How about I have a patent? Hey, Doug, how about I have a patent? I have a patent, okay, and I work for Sprint. And I happen to have, or I consult for Sprint.
You still haven't told me what you're afraid of. If you're not afraid of the camera and you're not afraid of the microphone, what are you afraid of?
Why don't you let this man finish the example he's going to give you?
Corporate espionage does not exist. Is that what you're saying? Are you really an investigative journalist?
Let me ask you a question. Corporate espionage with a cell phone that was purchased by some guy like you sitting at his house calling whatever you call, that's not corporate espionage. That's what consumers, C-O-N-S-U-M-E-R-S, are worried about.
It's the application. You open the door to the application. Now, if you think it's so narrow,
you know, I'm not the one with the perverted mind. You're the guy with the perverted mind because you're the guy thinking of all the ways that it can compromise you. You're the guy thinking of the camera looking at your old lady on the toilet.
No, he did.
Have you ever heard the Latin term carpe diem? Ever heard that? Buyer beware?
Carpe.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you heard that? You know what that means?
That didn't come from Rome, though. That's somebody that concocted that in Latin.
That is... Oh, Doug, please. Buyer beware means
it doesn't come from the Roman Empire.
So what if it doesn't come from the... All right, listen, I appreciate your call, sir, and I thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Who cares if it doesn't come from the Roman Empire? What is that about?
What I'm trying to tell you is some guy who knew Latin came up with that, and, oh, carpe diem, did you know? And everyone's, oh, my God, that must be the Roman Empire, and that guy didn't say anything. He let everybody think that Pontius Pilate said that or something. No, he didn't.
Okay, that's fine, but buyer beware. Buyer beware. Buyer beware.
Exactly. Buyer beware. And this guy is pitching me that? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the company put something on that phone to help you track that phone in case you lose it, or the company can track it for you. And buyer beware if you're all of a sudden paranoid about that camera. All right, he didn't want me being perverted. I don't know what he's worried about then.
Well, he was talking about corporate espionage.
What corporate espionage? If some guy's sitting at his house dialing up the sports scores or using his phone to text messages his girlfriend, what are we talking about corporate espionage here?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You seem hell-bent, though, on saying it just doesn't happen. Here is Alex. Alex, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I would like to say that as far as the preferences of the journalist, it's completely irrelevant, and I prefer not hearing it anymore. The real subject is there are...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist?
Yeah.
That's what I am.
So I'd like to get off that subject and talk about what's really relevant here, and that is...
Well, wait, that wasn't a subject. I was just telling you my credentials.
Well,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
It's irrelevant at this point. But what really matters at this point now, and I'd like to get my voice in without you interrupting me.
Let the gentleman speak, yeah.
No, I'm just telling that I'm gay.
Yes, exactly.
Like, and I'm telling you, I could really care less. But I don't want to argue.
Well, then you don't know what I mean by my credentials.
All right, we understand. I understand your credential. This gentleman does not care to accept those as valid credentials. So let's just move on. Go ahead, sir.
So if we look at if we take this to a different scenario where Madoff is basically saying I am the guy that has extraordinary portfolio. You can see how far we need to go in terms of trusting what people say. We're talking about a technology that can be used in a very intrusive way. If you lose your phone, you have to be responsible the next time and make sure you don't lose your phone. So to be able to have the technology to track and turn on your cameras and actually be able to have access like that is a very, very significant issue. And this is something that should be taken lightly. It should be discussed openly.
You're not taking it lightly, sir. Let me tell you what you take lightly. Every day of your life, your information is out there on cyberspace that you've given willingly, your social security number, your driver's license number. Now, those things can be tracked, too. I could cite chapter and verse of how your life could be turned upside down after you willingly give that information out in cyberspace. And yet you want to jump on me for saying a guy... No, it's not different at all. It's not different at all. You purchase a product or you engage in some kind of commerce where you give... This is why I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think of this stuff. See?
Yeah, but
I'm gay.
Like I'm saying, no matter how many times you say what you are, the people listening really care less, and it's not valid.
Well, but they just heard me make a really good point that you didn't have a comeback for, see? And I just want to say to all of them, I'm gay.
Madoff.
Okay, you're gay.
You're being gay. It's irrelevant. But what's relevant here is the advance.
What's relevant is I'm a gay man who thought of something that you didn't think of.
What did you think of, Doug?
I just got done telling him.
Nothing. Really nothing.
What do you mean nothing? Every day of your life, you willingly give parts of your personal life to strangers, and you tell me that's nothing?
No, I don't.
Come on,
that's
buddy.
What I'm trying to Come explain on, to you. I watch my information extremely carefully, and I'm very
sure you do. Sure you do. Well, then, let me ask you a question. If you're not worried about your information, why would you worry about your phone, whether it has tracking on it?
Because the technology...
Because you're very careful with it.
The technology that's being used that can access and turn on that equipment is critically dangerous in the wrong hands. That's the difference. So I don't want anybody being...
I don't want anybody being... And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right. Thank you. You know what? That's a good point, sir. And, Doug, you with the gay...
Hey, I'm gay, and he doesn't want to know about it because I thought of something he didn't think of.
No, he just made a very good point. That equipment can be turned on at any time. And
what do you mean, could you turn? All right, so just put a towel over it. Ah.
What do you mean, put a towel over it?
If you don't want the camera looking at you. and your wife is there taking her brassiere off, put a towel over your phone.
Thank you.
Listen to him laughing. He thinks it's funny. But remember, a gay man told you that. And he's going to go home tonight, and he's going to feel embarrassed because I'm gay. And
I understand that, Doug. You're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you thought of a lot of great stuff here. But the fact of the matter remains, what you're saying here is irrelevant. People are afraid that this tracking information, this tracking software, in other words, can track too closely. You say if there's a camera, throw a towel over it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back with Doug Danger. We also have Larry Grover on Herman Cain coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. You can look at us on Phil TV and HD and watch how the show is performed. Doug Danger joining us from the Orange County Courier this evening. You made a comment during our break that perhaps our listeners heard part of. You say that I'm stacking the deck against you. Would you mind explaining?
I don't mind explaining at all, Phil. I think it's very interesting that I've made a very clear point here. I've said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and that's to say that I can cut. Let me tell you something right now. I think people got the wrong idea about me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but that don't make me a sissy. I'll take on any one of these people who want to call up, and they want to go out and they want to, you know, they want to throw down and get serious here. I'd be happy to do that.
That's not about that, Doug. We're not talking about a fist fight, okay? We're talking about...
No, what you're talking about here is, I don't want to hear about you being gay. I'm telling you, that's my credential as to why it is people are paranoid and can't accept the reality that they lose their phones. And you know, I'll tell you something right now. The real sickness here is a guy coming on saying I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, that I work my tail off at my job, and I found out something that most people don't want to admit.
Which is what?
People are sloppy with their phones. They lose them. Period.
The whole paranoia, though, about the tracking software, you don't accept any of that.
What makes people think they're so important that the government is going to track some mealy-mouthed little man, some plumber, some salesman in El Monte, California, or Poughkeepsie, New York? What makes people think that they're so preeminent in the lives of the big, bad master computer in Washington, D.C., that they're going to get their asses tracked? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm here to tell you, most of us, Phil, if not all of us, most of us are nothing more than ants. Ants, okay? Well, I say most of us, I don't include myself in that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I consider myself to be a volcano. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. Okay?
Well, excuse me.
Well, it's frustrating.
877-876-PHIL. I'm not trying to frustrate you, Doug. What we're trying to do is get to the bottom of a couple of things here. Jacob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Since Doc
yes, sir.
Seems to be... Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine, Jacob.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. And since Doc is so obsessed with credentials, I'll throw mine in. 3 decades.
All right.
Software development, over 2 decades of computer security. And I think the important point that Doug is missing is that all technology can be abused. In this day of networking and remote control, it's not just the programmer. It's not the programmer we need to worry about. It's like a number of people tried to point out. The fact that that capability is there, that capability is not under the control of the phone owner, and that capability is remotely controllable. Will the company...
I understand all that. I understand that. I don't doubt that, sir. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that most of us in this world, perhaps not you and not me, I don't think, but most other people are ants. Why does the master cylinder in Washington, D.C. want to find out what an ant's doing?
Are ants, huh?
It doesn't matter whether we are ants or not. I guess you have forgotten a lot of history. maybe a lot of people are in, but think not so long ago in this very country, McCarthy here, thousands of ants were persecuted, prosecuted, and all the way hounded.
Those were not ants. Those were actors.
Well, how about the gay broadcasting thing that's been going on for a long
time? Those were not. Those were not ants. Those were actors and big shots. I'm talking about. I'm a volcano, and you're a volcano, and we're surrounded by ants.
The thing is, there's a lot of things going on that do impact those ants as well as us volcanoes. And more importantly, when laws are made before the ants, they do impact volcanoes.
You want to believe that. You want to believe that because that makes you feel like you're down there equal with the ants. But you're not. You're a software developer. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But the ants.
I'm not saying
nobody.
I'm just saying that when a law is passed on the basis of, hey, it's not going to impact the majority, it doesn't matter. Once it has passed, once something has become accepted, once it's available, it will impact everybody.
But
that's the important point.
I understand. But as when I tell you that I'm an ant, that I'm not an ant, but that the ant is not going to be. Are we out of time, Phil?
We are out of time, and I apologize. And I thank you, Jacob, for joining us. Doug, I'm sorry. Maybe we can hold this over for the next hour.
Well, I think it's very unfair. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. That's how frustrating my life is. And these ants think the government wants to know what they're doing?
Phil.
What an insult. God will not permit this.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't. We thank Doug Danger for the hour we spent with Doug talking about the software, tracking software that some phones have. There is a lawsuit being filed. I don't know. Maybe it's something that can be solved without a massive, a massive effort in court, and we'll certainly find out. I have a cell phone. I don't believe that it's on my phone. I have an iPhone. I know I've got a camera on my iPhone, but I keep my iPhone turned off most of the time, although it's not turned off. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but that camera, it's probably looking at you when you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate for that to happen, you know.
It's not looking at me while I'm going to the bath. Don't worry about it. You know, you're listening to too much Doug Danger.
Well, that's what he's saying.
No, I understand that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget the Phil Hendry Show website. Get a backstage pass and watch our nightly videocasts. And, in fact, we have a 5-day archive of the videocast. If you miss a show, you can go back and check out which show you missed. All there, on video, with the audio. People are very funny. They say, can I stream the audio of your show? Yes, you can. As a matter of fact, you can stream the audio of our show for free, if you'd like, the next day. What we do is provide a streaming file on our website. So even if you're not a subscriber to our website, you can hear the show in its entirety the next day, listening to that streaming file. If you become a Backstage Pass member, then of course those shows are available to you as downloads to your iPod or wherever. But you can certainly hear the show the next day on that using that streaming file. And as I mentioned, we have our 5-day video archive. And then we've got archives that go back many, many years. So check out our website, philhenryshow.com, and become a Backstage Pass member. Is it the end of the line for Herman Cain? Well, rapidly becoming a mere footnote in the presidential race, Herman Cain sent mixed signals on Friday on whether he would abandon his beleaguered White House bid on Saturday. That would be tomorrow. After a woman's allegation of an extramarital affair, he said he would make a major announcement on whether he would press on at an event still being billed as the grand opening of a new headquarters. It is the latest and perhaps final twist in a campaign saga that has taken the Georgia businessman from unknown long shot to surprise front runner to embattled tabloid subject. He arrived at his suburban Atlanta home on Friday afternoon to talk with his wife of 42 years, Gloria, about whether to press on after his campaign was rocked by multiple sexual harassment allegations and this week's claim that he had a 13-year affair with one of these people that's alleging this. He denies wrongdoing. It was their first face-to-face meeting since the allegation was made public. Excuse me. So this is all very sordid, and sometimes if you're like me, you feel like you're being treated like you're an imbecile. They're talking to us like we're stupid. Do you ever get that sense? No, I didn't. Well, they're talking to us. I understand there's somebody saying one thing, somebody else is saying something else. Well, we certainly recognize that somewhere there is a lie being told. Not somebody has another interpretation of the facts. There's a lie being told, or so it would seem. Let's get on the line here where we have Larry Grover on from the Orange County, from the Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is a longtime contributor, and he's at an event tonight for Conservatives of Kern County, a fundraiser for local California candidates running for the state legislature. Larry, how are you tonight?
Well, Phil, and we have raised quite a bit of money for our conservative slate that is going to be running for state senate here, and as well as the conservative slate that will be running in the San Joaquin Valley. And I want people who are listening to your program nationally to know that the conservative effort in our state and in all the other states of the United States of America, the conservative effort, the grassroots conservative effort, pushes on whether or not we have a Herman Cain or a Rick Perry. We are going to make our philosophy, we're going to make our views, and we're going to make what we think is the program, the agenda, and the platform for the resurrection and the reclamation of America is going to be very much in evidence in the elections in 2012. So I don't want anybody to get any misunderstanding there.
You are still very much involved with conservatives of Kern County, although you've moved into Southern California after your divorce, and pretty much it's been a tough run, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about Herman Cain. But yes, you're right. I, you know, after the divorce, you know, I wound up really involving myself heavily in conservative politics. And in that time, I was trying to get Bill Clinton, helping to get Bill Clinton to read the handwriting on the wall and get Bill Clinton to see the truth and speak the truth and leave the White House when he should have, and he never did. In the meantime, Bill Clinton is now living a pretty good life, and I am living with, you know, at my mother's house. I have a cot that is on a service porch, and that's what my life has become. And the reason why it's become that way is because I am a patriot. I love my country. I care very much for what happens to this country. I'm not running around trying to have sex with every woman I see. And when you don't run around and try to have sex with every woman you see and you treat women with respect, you wind up sleeping on a cot on a service porch at your mother's house when you're in your 40s.
And well, that's, boy, that sounds a little, you know.
Does it sound bitter? Well,
yeah, it sounds a little bitter.
Well, I can tell you it's true. It's very true. I've accepted that's the reality. When you treat women with respect and you're not trying to have sex with everything that walks or crawls, you wind up sleeping on a cot on your mother's service porch. Now let that roll around for a few minutes. And people that are listening right now, if the conservative movement stands for anything, it stands for being strong and being forthright, even in the face of that kind of humiliation. And that's why I'm a longstanding conservative.
That is not what I would call, though, Larry, and I understand what you're saying, having good moral backbone.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, but I don't think that that's a great recommendation. Say, hey, I'm a conservative, and what that means is, because I have respect for women and I don't have sex with everything that moves, I sleep on a cot on a service porch at my mother's house.
Well, excuse me, maybe I'm missing something. What else does it mean? Because you know that's exactly what my life has come to. I'm not complaining. Because we're talking about Herman Cain here. And I want to tell you something about Herman Cain. And I'll tell you something about a lot of men of power and a lot of men who have political power and a lot of men who have influence and a lot of men who are going to be president of the United States. I respect them. And Herman Cain I respect. I like Herman Cain. I'd vote for Herman Cain. And I think it's a damn shame that something that these men engage in that I believe the wives are fully aware of, and I believe that the wives and the husbands, and in this case, Herman Cain and his wife, Gloria, I think the understanding is very easy.
This is something I do. I'm a powerful man. Women are attracted to me. And I'm not going to deny my essence to women. And the wife, knowing the life that he's provided for her, accedes to that. She assents to that and says, all right, but if you get caught, I don't know who you are. You're on your own. Now, that's what's going on. And the hypocrisy here is not the hypocrisy of the men. I think it's really the hypocrisy of the women. I can't, when I look back on Elliot Spitzer and his wife standing there next to him, and I don't like Elliot Spitzer. He's a typical liberal. But in that situation, his wife put on this act that was an Academy Award-winning performance. And she should have gotten Best Actress for whatever year that was, looking for all the world like she was just the heartbroken like a bomb hitter. I don't know if she got any help with her makeup. I don't know if somebody messed her hair up like that. But
you think that that woman stood there and she was a phony baloney?
I think that Spitzer, Herman Cain, and all of them. I think the American people have got to get used to something, Phil. And I just closed the window in here. I think the American people have got to get used to something. I think the American people have to get used to the fact that we have very powerful men and very powerful people in politics that are going that have these extramarital affairs, and we better start growing up about it and recognize that this isn't just something that they do. The wives know about it. They've got a very perfectly good agreement. Everyone knows whatever everybody's doing. She knows that he's got these girlfriends. He knows that he's providing her with a great living. And the only thing that they say to each other is, if you get caught, and this is the wife saying this, if you get caught, I don't know who you are. I will disavow knowledge of you. And you've heard and if you've ever read the spy novels or whatever you want to call them in the CIA, that's exactly what they do. They say, if you get caught, I don't know you, I don't want to know you. You don't exist, you aren't an American, we never heard of you.
Well, I mean, you're being a little facetious, aren't you?
In what way?
Well, if you get caught, I don't know you.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you get caught, we never had an agreement. We never had an agreement saying that I know you are going to have sex with other women, and I'm going to look the other way, because that's the deal.
And you believe that that is the case with Herman Cain and other women married to men of power?
I'm telling you, it has to be, because this is happening all the time. And if you think about it, why are we children? Why do we not believe that a man of power, like a Herman Cain, is not going to have women on the side? I see that. I recognize that. I don't have that, because I devoted my life to being one of the foot soldiers. And what did I get? As a foot soldier, I got a cot on a service porch and a job at a print shop. That's what I get. See? But Herman Cain, he gets all of the goodies.
Are you bitter about that?
No, I'm not.
You support Herman Cain?
I support him 100%.
And you believe that he should be allowed to have affairs?
That's not the... He's having affairs. And so is Rick Perry. And so is Mitt Romney. And so is Huckabee. All of them are having affairs. Some of them do it better than others, and all the wives know about it. Let's start talking truth and quit playing like we're kids.
All right, Larry Grover on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show as he talks about the Herman Cain situation. It's not unique. It's something that is experienced by all politicians, all men of power. They all have girlfriends, and we are naive to think that not only are we naive to think they don't, but we're naive not to accept it. The wives accept it. Now, that's one that is going to take a little discussion. And the agreement is, I accept it, but if you get caught by the press, quote, you're on your own, I don't know you. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. We're going to be back here with Larry Grover and more on the possible end of the line for Herman Cain. Is today, today will be in another, well, today here on the West Coast, another 47 minutes or so, but it's already today back east, and so on Saturday, Herman Cain is supposed to make some announcement. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Hold on for just a second here. We got disconnected. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Larry Grover on the line with us from Conservatives of Kern County, a political action committee that is all about conservative politics. And Larry's joining us to discuss the Herman Cain situation. I appreciate you leaving. You're at a fundraiser, I know, Larry, but it's a lot quieter in the office that you're in right now.
I hope that's a little bit better, because I did think it was probably we were getting some extraneous noise.
No, it's much better. So what you're telling me here is that what Herman Cain may or may not be involved in, I don't know. You know.
Oh, I think we have to assume that there's something to what they're saying. I don't think that I am not shocked, and I'm not appalled, and I'm not worried, and I'm not concerned. The morality of this kind of thing, Phil, is well established. It's been established for perhaps hundreds of years. In the case of the United States of America and politics in America, this has been well established for at least 100 years, that these men of power, the political figures that are running for president of the United States, or if they're running for any political office, are powerful men and they have women. And I believe the wives are complicit. And I think the sooner that we face this, the quicker we're going to get on with the business of running this country.
So, in other words, all of my concern as a citizen would go out the window in your mind, because this has been going on so long.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about this as being something new. It's not new. What's new is the fact that I'm telling you that the women know that this is going on, and for a price, they keep quiet. And the minute that the press gets a hold of the information, the women say to the men, that's what I what do they say in the CIA? I give up. I deny all knowledge of you.
And well, it's not literally that way. You know.
No, it's not literally that way, but in my life, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me when I flew too close to the sun. I wound up with nothing. My wife got everything, and I work at a print shop, and I'm, I don't want people to feel sorry for me, but what I'm saying to you is this. I work at a print shop, Phil. I do wedding invitations for people that come in. That's what I do. I don't have Herman Cain's life. You know why? Because I treat women with respect. I'm not out trying to have sex with everything that even remotely looks female. And Herman Cain does. Jack Kennedy did. Rick Perry does, in my opinion. They all do. I say more power to them. That's what those guys do. Let's move on. Let's start.
Let's move on and let's start what? I mean, you're a guy, you say you treat women with respect. These guys don't treat women with respect, and therefore, this is the life that they have.
This is about more than that. This is about the presidency of the United States of America.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Jonathan on the line. Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the line here with Larry Grover.
Yes, Mr. Grover, you're outrageous.
Yes, sir.
You're outrageous, sir. Do you believe that women in power always have men on the side as well?
I didn't say that, did I? I didn't say that.
I'm asking you, do you?
I don't know. That's not my area of interest. I'm talking about men. How many women run for president?
Well, right now we have...
All right, so let's talk about reality. Let's talk about reality.
For president.
Who?
Michelle Bachmann,
got Bachmann
and possibly Sarah Palin.
All right, then yes, then Bachmann, no. Women, I don't know if you know this about women, but they view sex differently from men.
That's a sexist presumption.
Maybe you don't know much about women. Do you know much about women? I do. I wound up sleeping on a service porch because of a... You don't know anything about women. I can tell by your voice. You sound like you're strapped to a wheelchair.
Oh, come on, will you?
That's insulting.
Huh?
What do you mean, my boy?
You sound disabled. Are you disabled, yes or no?
I'm fully abled. I am fully abled. That, how about yourself? That, you sound mentally disabled. You do.
Why? I sound mentally disabled because why? Because I accept the reality that powerful men have women? Are you kidding? What fairyland do you live in? No, better not tell me.
I live in reality. I don't think you can make
better
that
not tell me. I want to. I don't want to know. I might have driven through there a few times.
Okay. But look at Larry. The insults, the personal insults of this man.
Well, no, he's the guy that called me mentally disabled.
You said you asked him if he was disabled. Now, I want to find out, first of all, I want to find out, what are you guys talking about? Because I don't think you're having a conversation. Okay?
I told you what I'm talking about. Does this guy know what he's talking about?
Yes, I do.
Well, what's your point, Jonathan? What do you want to say?
My point is, let's judge each person by the according to an individual. Let's not make a sweeping statement that all people in power have men or women on the side. Some do, some don't.
I mean, how many times do we have to hear that a guy's got 15 girlfriends before we finally accept the truth? What is it with you? How many times do you want to hear the story that, oh, he's got a girlfriend. Oh, he's got a woman on his side. Look at this. He's got four other girls. And we keep finding this stuff out. We find it out about presidents. We find it out about candidates. I say let's accept that this is what they do. And let's also remember this. The women, they know all about it. Don't worry about that. They know all about it, and they let it happen until the press gets a hold of it, and then the women say, you can twist in the breeze for all I care. It happened to me.
Well, no, it didn't happen to you, Larry. What happened to you was your wife divorced you because you were ignoring her. And
it's the same thing that happened to me. I noticed my friend Jonathan here, maybe sucking his lunch through a straw, I don't know, but he hasn't got anything to say. And you want to know why? Because what I've just said makes perfect sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. I think you're just...
Well, then why are you... You know that you've just wasted Mr. Hendry's time with your rotten phone call.
Hey, listen, I will be the judge. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover with us on Herman Cain and Men of Power. They all have girlfriends, so let's grow up and accept that. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here this evening. Just had the phone system go down, bud.
Yeah, sorry, got it disconnected. I better call him up.
Well, no, the guys in Medford can hear us. We might have lost our phone system. It could very well be some sort of a glitch, some kind of...
I'm saying like a, what do they call it, a sunspot.
Yeah, a lot of time a sunspot.
Could be a sunspot, could be something atmospheric, but I can see that we are definitely having a problem pulling calls up here on our phone system. But we do have hanging on the line. Did you get Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Dr. Jim Sadler. We do have Larry Grover on the line with us. We're going to talk a little bit more with Larry about, you know, really what he has brought to the table today by way of a couple of blogs and some other things, and that is that the Herman Cain situation is a situation that we're all going to have to get used to because this is the way of the world. This is the way of politicians. This is the way of powerful men. And to be bleating on about it, and I'm using your words, Larry, by the way, to bleat on with it. And when you say bleat on, it's like you're saying, you know, we're sheep or something.
Well, you look at Phil, we sound like sheep when we go on and on and on about how this guy is he has a girlfriend. Phil, are we blind? Are we completely blind idiots? Do we not look at history and see the powerful men who were great men, who led this country and led this world out of chaos, and yet in their personal lives they had proclivities that perhaps in our most school-marmish ways we might wag our fingers at and disapprove of, but do we really hold those men to the same standards as the rest of us? I like to think that I am something special, but I realize that I'm not. I am not anything special. I sleep on a cot on a service porch. I like to think that maybe someday I could have the same kind of possibilities that Herman Cain has. But until that day arrives, I'm not Herman Cain. I sleep on a cot. I'd like to have women, but I will not treat a woman like she is a prostitute. I won't treat her as if she's something that I purchased for the weekend.
But when you become powerful enough, will you?
When I become powerful enough, women will want me to treat them like I bought them.
So this is your view of women, huh?
Hey, let me just say something, Mr. Henry. I was married, okay?
You might have been married, and I know that you have four daughters. This is your view of... You had a wife, and you have four daughters. This is your view of women?
You know, don't... Bill, please don't get high and mighty. My view of women...
I'm not being high and mighty. You said that if you ever get enough power, that women are going to want you to treat them like you just bought them.
Some women. And those are the women who will say, you go out and have sex with anything that walks or crawls, but if the press finds out, I don't know you, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead to me.
Do you think Herman Cain's wife has said that to him?
Basically, yes. Yes, she has.
Well, I mean, Elliot Spitzer's wife didn't say that to him.
And you know, we saw the act that she put on, and that's the act that they want to put on, which is she looked like the abused spouse. She looked like the woman who had been wronged. She looked, she had it going, I mean, she looked great. Well, how do you know as soon as they got out of that room and they went to the privacy of their home that she didn't rail on him like some kind of a witch, some kind of a bar bitch, crawling up one side and down the next? And
what do you mean a bar bitch? What is that supposed to be? In other words, what...
What I'm saying is, how do you know that when they left that room, she was all over Elliot Spitzer like white on rice, and he sat there like a little boy being chastised?
Oh, you know something, man? I he doesn't strike me like that kind of a guy, and I think what you're doing now is you're creating scenarios to further some view you have that is simply concocted so that the political point of view is furthered. Herman Cain, whoever, let them have girlfriends. The wives are to blame. I'm a conservative. That's all I want.
No, you got it all wrong. Once again, you got it wrong. Once again, you have it wrong. And that's the thing that shocks me. When you get it wrong once, that's fine. But you get it wrong 1, 2, 3, 6, 10 every time I'm on your show.
No, I have not gotten it wrong simply because you tell me I've gotten it wrong, Larry. All right, hold on for a minute, because I want to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here from San Diego. Dr. Sadler, who is a individual that we get on the show quite a bit, and he talks with us about, well, psychological issues. This has got more to do, really, with... this has more to do, I think, with, I guess, the sexual politics between men and women. Is it a psychological issue, Dr. Sadler? Is it anything that... how do we deal with it as voters?
Well, I'm listening to Mr. Grover, who does have an overly cynical view of women in light of the fact that, Mr. Grover, you said, Phil, I thought I heard you say he has four daughters.
I love my daughters very much. I love, don't even go there, because anyone that hurt my daughters, words do not describe adequately what would happen to them. In fact, I was on the phone, Phil, with Margaret Gray, who's a very good friend of yours, and she and I were talking about what would happen to any individual that harmed our family. And
yes, I know, and I know Margaret's view, and I know your view, and I think that that is a bit proper, although it sounds, in your case and in hers, sometimes a little bit extreme.
Well, let me jump in here, because I understand you, Larry. I think very much so you would defend your family. I don't doubt that for a moment, which makes me wonder why you would have a very sexist view in a lot of ways about women and think that they are duplicitous, manipulative, almost sociopathic in their view of their marriage and relationship, that as long as they get what they want, they will allow the husband to do whatever he wants. And if he's caught by the press, you said that the wife would, quote, I don't know you. Ain't that what you, or is that what you said?
Well, no, what I said was, if they're caught, then the wife, yes, as in the CIA, will deny all knowledge. Now, I don't mean that literally. Obviously, they're married.
Well, that's what confused me. They're married, so she does know him.
Yes, of course she knows him, but in the eyes of the public, Spitzer's wife, the other guy in Louisiana, I forget his name, Vittle or Vittner, or what's that guy's name, Phil?
I know who you're thinking of. I can't remember.
Isn't that interesting that we forget these people? Maybe they're not as indelibly traced on our memory as we think.
Well, that could be. Visser. No, I'm thinking of Leslie Visser this morning. In any case, the guy that was in the diaper, do you know who that is?
I don't know of anyone in the diaper.
No.
Why did you bring that up?
I'm bringing up the fact that this guy in Louisiana wore a diaper.
Well, I think that's pretty interesting you're bringing that up.
Well, look at... Who cares? What's your point?
Well, my point is that his wife also must have known. How do you wear a diaper and your wife doesn't know? I'd like to get an answer on that.
You know, can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
No, but...
No, you're going down an area of inquiry that is making me uncomfortable, and I'm going to ask you, how do you know?
How do I know what?
My wife, who is much younger than me, I wear a diaper for sex. You understand? Now,
I didn't want to know anything about...
No, we're not talking about you, Dr. Sadler.
No, I know, yeah, that's what you say, but this guy kept on and on with the diaper. So I will tell you, in the spirit of being forthcoming, so that you and I can have a good open dialogue, that I do wear a diaper.
Yeah, I don't...
So what? We're not talking about you.
Well, so what? He dragged it out of me. And I go into that infantile state, and I have even shed tears because it's not enough. It's not enough.
I'm not interested in you wearing a diaper, all right?
And say that you're not interested, and yet you, the diaper, till I can't take...
He didn't do that. He was talking about this guy in Louisiana, and I think because we couldn't remember the name, it sounded as if we were harping on the diaper aspect. There's no need for you to tell us about your private sexual proclivities, Dr. Sadler. I don't think that's not why I brought you on here, you know?
No, but as a therapist, I know which direction the dialogue is going, and I heard this man here, Grover, diaper, all I heard was diaper.
That's not what I didn't say diaper. If you want to tell me you wear a diaper, that's your business, buddy. I'm not interested in it.
Well, now I stand here alone, and I look like an ass, because I told you I put a diaper on.
Well, can we stop talking about your diaper?
I'd like to do that.
Oh, so now what it is I'm really weird. You guys don't even want to...
You know something, Dr. Sadler, if you want to get off the phone...
No, I don't want to get off the phone, because then it's going to look like, you know, I'm some creep. It's going to look like I'm running away from the conversation.
All I'm saying to you is that other politicians who have women on the side, their wives know. And I sent the guy with the diaper because I don't remember his name.
Neither do I, but it's a guy in Louisiana...
So you guys are pretending like me saying that I wear a diaper, you're going to forget about it.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to talk about it. I want to forget about it, and I want to move on. You brought it up for some reason.
Well, why don't you tell us? Why did you bring it up?
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up when you kept saying diaper. And I thought you knew something. You know my wife?
Do I know your wife? No, I don't know your wife.
Boy, if you're lying to me.
I'm not lying to you. I don't know your wife.
You don't know Amber Sadler.
Hmm? Amber Sadler? No, I don't.
Dr. Sadler.
Hold on, Phil. Then what?
Dr. Sadler, I'm gonna let you go. Okay.
Please don't hang up on me.
And Larry, we're going to take a break. I think we need a break. And maybe we can pick this up sometime next week.
The phone here, just because you got that freak on from San Diego who almost started bawling because he says wearing a diaper isn't enough. I don't know what's that got to do with me getting hung up on.
Because the whole point of this conversation is now moot. Because the whole point of this conversation about the sexual proclivities of powerful men is weird, man. Because I just had a doctor of psychology say that he wears a diaper for sex and it's not enough, okay?
All right, but I mean, what's that got to do with me?
And with you, you're on a service porch on a cot. Just get out of here.
Want me to call him back?
Why would you call him back, bud?
Well, I thought you got disconnected.
I hung up. On both of them. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour is coming up. 877-876-PHIL. And Saturday is just ahead here on the West Coast, here at the El Pacifico. It has mercifully arrived for most of you out there Never Never Land. Saturday. So we'll be back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover with us. I don't know if Dr. Sandler wants to come back on the air. But Larry, we were talking about the idea that powerful men have sex with lots of women. Their wives know about it, and their wives assent to it. And you haven't really brought up much proof other than your instincts based upon your bad marriage and how your life has run off the tracks.
Phil, my wife, yes, my life has run off the tracks, okay? But my life has run off the tracks to the extent that I do not take advantage of women. I don't have the kind of life that a woman would be attracted to. I work at a print shop, and I sleep, I don't know how many times I need to tell you this, I'm on a cot. Do you understand that?
No, I understand that, Larry. I get that.
Well, then what is so difficult to understand?
I want you to repeat it for my audience. You're a loser. Is that what you're telling me?
In so many words, yes, I'm a loser. And you bring on this man, this psychologist, who should have the respect of so many people because he's a doctor and he's had that education and he's talking about wearing a diaper.
You and I were talking about the senator in Louisiana, and I can't remember his name, who wore a diaper during sex. This came out, and I think that's why Dr. Sadler got unwound. Let me get on to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Monty. Hey, Monty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, I'm a registered voter. I'm a truck driver. I'm no psychologist, and I don't sleep on the couch. My comment on this situation is, if a powerful man has to cheat on his wife, and his wife knows about it, they're both living a lie, how can he run a country? He's going to lie to us when he runs his country. If he can't run his marriage, how can he run the United States?
What about that, Larry?
Well, sir, they do. It's not how can he. They already have. Dwight Eisenhower, John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson. My God, if we want to be naive, okay, but I think Ronald Reagan probably had girlfriends. So it's not how can they. They have done it. And,
Go ahead, I'll just take you.
Well, I was going to say, how long do we want to act like children and pretend it doesn't happen? And these are presidents of the United States. We've seen the course. What's his name? The guy, World War II, run a country. Franklin Roosevelt won a world war, and God knows how many women he had.
Well,
okay. What I'm saying is, if they can't run the marriage, if both of them know that he is cheating, therefore, they're not running their marriage. If they can't run the marriage, how can he run this country? He's going to be dishonest to us, too.
Wait a second. Didn't I just tell you about Franklin? Didn't I just tell you about Franklin Roosevelt? Are you telling me Are you trying to tell me Franklin Roosevelt was a bad president?
Well, wait a minute. This gentleman is saying, this man is saying that they're lying to each other.
Look at that. You saw what Franklin Roosevelt was married to. With all due respect to Eleanor Roosevelt, she was a wonderful woman. You take one look at her, man, make a freight train, take a dirt road, you know it as well as I do.
Well, so, don't be disrespectful.
When this guy come out running for president, did he get up there and say, okay, I cheat on my wife? Did he get up there and tell us that? No, he didn't.
Neither did Franklin Roosevelt, and neither did what's his name, Kennedy or Eisenhower. They didn't say that either. Shouldn't mean anyway.
So you think that rich and powerful men should have two and three girlfriends and a wife?
I think we need to understand they need that, yes. And the wives, here's the part that gets, the thing that gets me is the wives know it, and when the press finds out, the wives drop these guys like they've got the plague. They drop them like they've got leprosy.
Okay, if he can't be faithful to his wife, how can he be faithful to his job? Tell me that.
Well, sir, how did Franklin Roosevelt do it? You want me to keep going?
You're going back on these examples. This man is asking a question that I think is a vital question. We can talk about Franklin Roosevelt being a great president. We can talk about Eisenhower being great presidents. What did they hold back from us? What were they lying to us about? You know,
are you trying to tell me, either one of you guys trying to tell me that Roosevelt wasn't a great president? He was a wartime leader.
I'm just simply saying that, you know, there was a war on, so that brings out a lot of heroic things in people. But let's say that it was peacetime, and there was just the mundane lifetime of America, and you've got a president. The man's speaking about honesty, and I think it's a very valid question. Thank you very much, Monty, for your question. 877-876-PHIL, 877.
Hold on for a minute. First of all, that guy sounded as like Slim Pickens. You know it as well as I do. Secondly,
what guy?
The guy I was just talking to. If that wasn't the guy flying that bomber in Strangelove, you know, Henry, you could play your games, and you can play your games and play your games. But when you play a game with me, buddy, you better bring a referee and a whistle.
What are you talking about?
Get a load of him. What am I talking? The guy that I just talked to, was that Slim Pickens?
No, it wasn't Slim Pickens. That guy's Slim Pickens, not even alive anymore.
The guy in Strangelove who wrote the bomb, was that him?
No, that wasn't him.
You're lying.
You know, I'm getting tired of being called a liar. Sadler called me a liar, which, by the way, Dr. Sadler, let me get Dr. Sadler on the line. Dr. Sadler, you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, are you calmed down?
Am I calmed down? Let me explain something. I wasn't uncalm. I got called on the carpet because of certain practices which are in the privacy of my home with my wife that this man wanted to make an issue out of.
I didn't hear that, but let me just go to another phone call. We have on the line here Stacy. Stacy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler and Larry Grover. Go ahead, please.
First of all, I'd like to put my two cents in about cheating and, powerful men. Yeah, they all do it. We all know it. I don't even know what the discussion is. They do because they can. And I'm sorry
the women,
that, I don't know.
The discussion is the women know it's happening. The women know it's happening and they let it happen.
Exactly. And it's really sad. And you had just said they dump them like that. But half of them, which is more sad, stay with them. And they stand next to them, and they act
I have to get out of the tub now. Should I?
Yeah, you get out of the tub, Dr. Sadler. Jeez.
Oh, okay. You know, all you people, forget it.
Phil Hendry.
I wear a diaper.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Saturday here at the El Pacifico, Saturday everywhere else in this grand place called the U.S. of A. And a good Saturday morning to you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our very best wishes and continued good health to Larry Grover and Dr. Jim Sadler, but we can't take it anymore listening to you, Dr. Sadler, getting upset about the fact that you wear a diaper and it isn't enough.
What's that mean, anyway?
I don't even want to get into it, man, okay? It's a sexual thing. I don't know what it is with some guys, and I guess in a lot of ways I consider myself, if you're honest with yourself and you hear about people having these kinds of sexual, what is it?
Kind of like the personality.
Yeah, you know, they got a sexual personality where they want to wear a diaper. It's hard not to consider yourself superior to people like that, which I know is probably wrong, but I can't remember the name of that damn senator from Louisiana to save my ass. And you know what? I don't really care, but that was the guy that got the whole discussion of diapers started. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and this is our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman with me, along with Robert Leonard. And don't forget to join us at philhenryshow.com. We have a live streaming video of our show each and every night. And if you miss it, you can check out our five-day video archive. You can also listen to a live stream or a stream of our show the next day if you missed it. But if you want to be a Backstage Pass member, and that is, become a member of our subscription family, you get downloads. You get downloads of every show that we've done since 1999. I mean, seriously, three-hour shows. So when we talk about an archive of shows, we're not talking about two-minute clips of our best-of bits. We're talking about... Oh, and by the way...
You are talking about those downloads.
Exactly. I want to let everybody know that beginning next week, we are going to make available for purchase individual downloads, individual cuts from our best-of CDs, so that if you don't want to buy the whole CD, or if you want to sort of mix and match different cuts... You can do that, too. So we will have available on the site the ability for you to download, to purchase, for instance, All You Can Eat Negro, if you want. Or you can purchase Burning Bugs. Or you can purchase Cat Sex. Or some of these bits that we've done. And you can purchase them individually.
How much is that going to be?
I don't want to say.
Yeah, you want to make it more than iTunes.
Hey, man, first of all, our stuff ain't available on iTunes except through our site. Secondly, maybe I do. All right. No, it's going to be cheap. Don't worry about it. So it is Saturday morning, and we were just talking. I don't know. I don't want to talk about that stuff. We were talking about Listerine. How did we get on? Oh, yeah, that's for some reason we were talking about antiseptics and making instruments clean, and we got on the topic of that. I think we were talking about the Civil War or something, but I mentioned to the guys Lister. Now, I know what you said, bud.
Yeah, Listerine.
Yeah, well, Listerine is named after a Dr. Lister, Joseph Lister, who was, in fact, a prominent physician-scientist researcher who, yes, as his name would indicate, was a pioneer in the practice of disinfecting and sterilizing equipment and bedding and bandages. In other words, until men like Lister came along and people like Florence Nightingale, for instance, we had hospitals that were filthy, and we had bandages that were filthy, and the practices of surgeons using the same tools, the same instruments, on different patients without cleaning them, we wouldn't even think to do something like that these days. But there was a time we didn't know anything about bacteria. We were very, very, you know, sort of just fuzzy about all that stuff. And along came this man, Dr. Lister, and there were others. Well, okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Lister. Now, how do we get the Listerine?
He probably invented that too, huh?
Yeah.
No, he didn't have anything to do with Listerine. His family had nothing to do with Listerine. They just woke up one day, and some jackass in America decided he was going to make something called Listerine. So that's how that happened.
You don't get no money or nothing, huh?
They don't get a dime. I don't know if there's any Listers left. I don't even know how it happened, because, it's not his product, and he didn't invent it, and he didn't develop it, and his family had nothing to do with it. Just some cat said, hey, you know, let's make some Listerine, because this guy Lister, you know, he sterilized instruments. So that's what happened. Now, there had to have been some kind of a, I don't know, you know.
But probably somebody must have sued or something, man. You figured there'd be a lawsuit.
That's what I'm thinking. And maybe the lawsuit was this. Well, it's too late now. They've established, and in point of fact, they probably said something like, it's too late now, and besides, Listerine has established a good reputation for the name Lister. It's not a bad one. It's a product that's well thought of. Well, he's still using the name, he's been using it for a long time, and it would be unfair. Probably some jive-ass ruling like that. It would be unfair to take the name away from the guy now. And maybe they settled for some money. Maybe there wasn't even a lawsuit. I don't know.
Yeah, came out with Dickman juice, you know.
What are you talking about Dickman juice, man? To come out with something like that, you probably have to have a prophylactic to use it. For all the things that...
Will you shut up with that, okay?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean Dickman juice?
About a mouthwash.
Now, why'd they come up with a mouthwash called Dickman juice?
Because if my breath smelled good...
Which it doesn't.
Yeah.
Dickman juice. So, in other words, your point is you'd sue.
Yeah, I'd sue, and I'd try to get billions of dollars for it.
Yeah, well, good thing, man. They're never going to have nothing called Dickman juice. They're never going to have anything all that for mouthwash. Unless you want to have mouthwash to make your mouth smell like a graveyard, then yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bud, you got a way of coming up with some... You really fantasize about some whack stuff. What are you looking at, anyway?
This is the most bitchinest movie. They Alive.
They Alive? You mean They Live, or whatever the hell that thing is?
Yeah, with Rowdy Piper.
I don't know anything about that flick, Rowdy Piper. Is that the one where everybody looks like they got a skull face?
Yeah.
All right, so surging Gingrich bolsters... look at this. Here's Gingrich and here's Mitt Romney. They have skull faces.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Surging Gingrich bolsters campaign. Newt Gingrich moved quickly Friday to match his campaign apparatus with rocketing poll numbers and presidential bid buoyed by new rules governing the GOP primary system that may give him enough time to prepare for prolonged state-by-state... Blah, 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 blah. I got to tell you something. I don't see how the Republicans can win this presidential election, but that's coming from a guy that predicted the last one so poorly. I just don't see how they can do it. I don't see how these guys are even going to begin to impress the American people with anything that they know how to do, because the fact is, whether the Democrats are exaggerating or not, whether they are saying technically what really happened is true or what they're saying isn't about how the Republicans balled everything up and the Democrats inherited this big mess, whether that's true, whether it isn't true, whether it's whether the case is that it is decades long in the making, it doesn't matter, okay? The perception is that the Republicans are as stumble-bummy as the Democrats. There's no getting around that. And you can say... If you want to, you can say, well, this isn't about Republicans, but we want our Tea Party guys. It doesn't make any difference. The voters think of them as one and the same. Believe me when I tell you. Okay?
Yeah, what do you mean, by Tea Party?
Yeah, voters don't see any difference between Tea Party and Republicans. It's the same thing, any more than anybody sees any difference between progressive or whatever the hell you want to call it and Democrats. It's the same thing, and they see them all as... What we need, and you know, we're going to wind up with a president from a party that's as colorful and as exciting as as what we have now. President Obama, he's okay, but he's a president, and he's got a very hostile Congress to deal with, and he's got a, quite frankly, the political opposite of him is very, very hostile. There isn't a move that guy can make that people don't think is some kind of a commie thing. I mean, the stupidity has been record-breaking. So what makes anybody think that any other guy in there is going to get anything less is just beyond me. I don't know. The Republican's going to stick a guy in there and he's going to be treated better? Are you crazy? Are you out of your minds? You don't think that what awaits either it's Romney or Gingrich is the same thing that Obama's getting? What do you think? All of a sudden everybody's going to have a Satori? They're going to have some epiphany? Oh, this guy's great. You think that's going to happen? Where we're at right now is, no matter how good the idea is, there's going to be a significant number of people that are going to try to make crap out of it. Even if it's the greatest idea that's ever come down the pike, even if it's the most fantastic idea that anybody ever had for turning this country around, there's the political opposites of the Newt Gingriches of the world and the political opposites of the Barack Obamas of the world are going to do their very best to wreck it. That's just how it is these days. It's like an extension of the internet, you know. It's just, we have trolls on the internet. Well, we have trolls out there in political life.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, there's just people that for kicks, for laughs, because their lives are empty, because they got nothing else to do, are going to do what they can to wreck a guy's campaign. And I don't know why it was difficult. I saw what happened to Bush. And when the Democrats came into power, at least in the White House, I said it on the air. I said, you think Obama's going to get treated any different? Do you think that... Are you crazy? Do you honestly believe? And I know there was all that feel-good stuff, man, and everybody was getting blissed out over Barack Obama. I didn't buy that for a second. Not for one second did I think, oh, man, the whole country is just, we're just high on President Obama. He didn't even buy it. That was the thing everybody missed. He wasn't even buying it. So here comes this guy, and he's treated just as bad as Bush was. He's talked about like he's a dirty, rotten, no-good Hitler, and he's a traitor, and he's a commie, and he's a this, and he's a that. This is where we're at these days in American politics. So what makes anybody think that Gingrich or Romney or anybody else is going to get treated differently once they become president of the United States? The game today, folks, is not about making the country better. The game today is seeing how much crap you can pile on somebody.
You ought to be like a news talk, like a host and everything, and... But Sean Hannity.
Yeah, I think you'd, well, but what would you be?
What are you guys talking about?
You're talking, the way you talk about the politics and everything.
Yeah.
Get out of here, will you?
No.
Get out, it's like Sean Hannity.
Yeah, except I don't know, are you a conservative or?
I don't know and I don't care. All right, we're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Get this Gingrich and Romney stuff out of here, man, before I gag up on Gingrich. Violent windstorms. Did you hear about this stuff in Pasadena and Arcadia? And this is my hometown out there in the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California, folks. We had wind gusts of over 100 miles an hour. It tore Arcadia to shreds just about. We'll be back to talk about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so, and welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And so, you heard about these winds. They had them in Colorado. They had them in some other western state, Utah, Nevada, Wyoming. It was a system that brought these high wind warnings and advisories throughout many of these western states, Arizona, New Mexico. Blustery weather is expected to eventually hit Oklahoma, Missouri, and Indiana. The violent winds have eased, but strong gusts still blew through the region on Thursday night, at times reaching 60 miles an hour. Now, I will tell you that where I live now here at the El Pacifico, we're about 30 miles, 40 miles north of Los Angeles. We didn't get any winds here. Now, in the wintertime here at the beach or at the Pacifico and the oceanary areas, I just made up a word there.
Yeah, that's where the sea lions live, in the oceanary.
Exactly. We get a lot of wind. We get cold winter wind. We get a lot of wind off the ocean. That's, you know, sort of be expected. But what happened here the other night was a real freakazoid, baby. Real weird.
What is it, man?
All right, so I'm looking this up, and a JPL scientist by the name of Bill Patzert has some answers. JPL is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is over here in Pasadena. And you probably have heard of JPL. They help track many of our satellites and, you know, whatever the hell, moon rockets and all this jazz. So the gentleman's name is Bill Patzert. He was asked these questions by the Altadena Patch, which is a little website in Altadena, which is also where Bradley Military Academy is, where R.C. Collins goes to school.
Yeah, that's the place where that little punk goes.
Exactly. All right. Can you start by giving us an explanation for this unusual wind system that is scientifically accurate, interesting, and easy to understand, is the question. He said, well, the doctor said November and December is really the prime season for Santa Anas. This is this warm wind condition that we get in California, which are these really powerful high winds that come through the high desert and mountain passes. The history of Southern California is written in these great events. They are mild, they are medium, and then they are super duper. And we had a super-duper one. We had a high-pressure system over Northern California and a low-pressure system in Arizona, and squeezing between those two systems, really cold air invaded Southern California. But not all of all Southern California did not get hit. It really focused on the San Gabriel Valley, which is Pasadena and Arcadia and all those towns out to the northeast of Los Angeles. Now, we've read that a lot of the reason the Pasadena-Altadena foothills got hit was because the winds came from the north rather than northeast. Yes, that's correct, he said. It was very cool, and rather than northeast, it was straight out of the north, and for some reason it really focused in the foothills, which made it unusual. The usual suspects, like the Santa Clarita River Valley and the Cajon Pass, they got bypassed. For some reason, our number came up here in the San Gabriel Valley, Sierra Madre, Temple City, Pasadena, and the gusts were between 80 and 90 miles an hour, and as I mentioned, there's concrete traffic lights we have in Southern California. Those things got snapped. Concrete poles that the traffic lights are on were snapped. So there you go, bud. It's just a high-pressure system, a low-pressure system, cold air, and the winds were coming from the north as opposed to the northeast, so they hit different parts of the pass.
I don't understand any of it.
Neither do I, but that's what he said. What do you want me to do? Okay. That's what he said. There's a lot of people without power, and this is not unusual for, I'm sure our friends down south and back east are probably laughing, and I don't blame them, because they deal with ice storms, they deal with hurricanes, we're sitting here wow, we really had some bad winds and the trees and everything.
Yeah, no kidding, man. But they got a problem back there, but that one ice storm I saw, man, ripped out houses, man, whole houses ripped out.
No, that's a tornado. That don't no ice storm gonna do that.
Well, whatever. There's weather systems that the rest of the country has to deal with that are brutal. I'm embarrassed every time I got to talk about weather out here. Oh, we had rain, and guess what? What? It flooded. Well, you know.
Well, that's bad.
Is it really? It's bad, huh? Try living on the Mississippi River, man, when the flood puts whole houses underwater, you know.
Back and done with that, New Orleans.
That was a hurricane, man. That was a whole other thing. So, yeah, we get weird-ass weather out here. We swear to God, man, the world is ending. Oh, yeah, we had high wind. What the hell's going on? It must be the end of the world. No, it ain't the end of the world, man. It's wind, you know. And these winds that we had, they were gusts. They were not tornadoes. They weren't hurricanes. It was just wind gusts of a pretty powerful wind gust, but nonetheless, it was nothing that, I don't know, man, it's just nothing that is even remotely comparable to the stuff that these other folks have got to deal with. So, you know, here we go again. But nonetheless, man, it did turn a lot of places into garbage out there, man. I'm looking at the houses, they got trees that have just went right down on top of some guy's liquor store. The dude was saying, yeah, I was in here, you know, ringing up a customer, and the next thing I know, I have no store left.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. He's got like three or four customers, and suddenly they heard a noise, and a gigantic oak tree is about to fall. Everybody runs out of there, and next thing you know, his entire store is garbage. Just smack that thing, man. Just turned it into nothing. That's wild. All right, other news is a jobless rate dipped to its lowest level in more than 2 years. There's nothing to read there. Facebook I'm telling you, bud, there's nothing to read there.
Why not?
So the jobless rate's down. Great. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to get into that garbage. Facebook to hire thousands. They're opening a New York store. For the good old days of rude cell phone gabbers, somebody's talking about that. The sound of people blathering on cell phones is part of the soundtrack of daily life, and most of us have learned when to be quiet. No talking in quiet cars on trains, for example. But the etiquette of talking to a phone, more precisely to a virtual assistant like Apple's Siri, in the new iPhone 4S has not yet evolved, and eavesdroppers are becoming annoyed. All right, we'll be back to talk about that and more. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, if you listen to the Phil Hendry Show, you know one thing. We hate talk radio on this show. We do. I mean, we seriously do. We cannot stand it, and that's why what we do essentially is I don't know. What would you call it, bud?
Like a satire. Yeah.
A satire. That's good. One of the reasons why we hate talk radio is because it is a redundancy. It is a it's a vomit machine. It's a diarrhea machine. It's just a regurgitation of meaningless things. It's a bunch of guys trying to get you jacked up and excited over nothing. Nothing. You know, I mean, I'll tell you right now, this will be the truest thing that you will hear all year. The 99% of the garbage that you hear about Obama and Gingrich and politics, it's completely meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It has no relevance. It doesn't mean anything to the future of the country. Now, you don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, here's something else that has absolutely no meaning. This has no meaning. It has meaning to some scared little rabbits on Wall Street. People that, as I said, are playing the stock market is like, you know, is like watching the crowd at a baseball game. It's not watching the game. You're watching the crowd at the baseball game. And among some of the most insignificant statistics that you will ever hear is the unemployment rate. Now, I'm not saying that it going down, it went down, and that's good news for President Obama. And I don't doubt that it's whatever it's rooted in. And I know that there's a bunch of people going to jump all over it, for instance, for political reasons. Well, you know, that just means 300,000 people stop work, you know, looking for work. I've heard all of the political spin that I ever want to hear about the unemployment number. The fact is the unemployment number is garbage. It doesn't mean anything. What do you think it means? Are you going to stop? When you see the unemployment rate at 8.6%, what does that mean?
It means there are a lot of people out of work.
So? What's that got to do with you?
Well, I mean, if you know that 8.6%, I don't know. You know.
What do you mean you don't know? I mean, we're all supposed to get up and we're supposed to get our undies in a bunch of this stuff. What difference does it make? I feel bad for people that are out of work. That much I know. But that number, 8.6%, going up, down, or sideways, doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean, and I'm not saying just it doesn't mean anything to you and me. It shouldn't mean anything to anybody other than jokers that are trying to get elected president. That's it. And guys that are trying to keep the job of president. That's all. Clowns that need numbers to justify their existence on this planet, which as far as I know, are politicians. Now, if we had real politics, if we really had good leaders, they would throw these numbers out. It doesn't make any difference. You go ahead and I'll go out and I'll talk to people who are out of work, and we will find a way to put people back to work who are out of work. But saying that 8.6, 9%, this, that, saying that means or proves something, it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't prove anything. We're finding that out every single day from the very people that want us to think it means something. Stupid asses that talk to us about the unemployment rate is going up. When it goes down, they've got their political spin. That means that 300,000 people are no longer looking for work. So that number really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't represent. See, in other words, it's not a meaningful number. We should not look at it or pay any attention to it, but we will. That doesn't mean anything to the average worker. Any guy that gives up looking for work, I got no use for. I don't care who you are or what you are. You give up looking for work, who the hell wants you around? Who wants you around? What do you mean they gave up looking for work? What are they doing, sitting on their ass watching Oprah? What are they doing? Are they going to? And, you know, people, and don't tell me because I've been out of work. I mean, I love how people think, oh, you're just a gas bag on the talk station there, Phil. What do you know? What do I know about it? I've been working since I was 13 years old. What do you mean, what do I know about it? Since I was 11, excuse me, I had a paper route. Now, my very first job, other than mowing lawns, a paper route. And then I was a dishwasher. And then I was a construction worker. I was a cement finisher and a rod buster. And I was a laborer. And I did every odd job there was to do. And then I got into radio. And I've been in and out of work my whole career. I've taken unemployment insurance. The last, knock wood, thank God, the last time I had to do that was over 20 years ago. I never stopped looking for work, ever. Who the hell gives up looking for work? I don't like being out of work. It's an unnatural thing for me. It should be unnatural for anybody. I don't care what the 8.6% says. It doesn't make any difference to me. And this is the this is one of many disservices that talk radio and this gas bag machine that we have called talk radio, this is one of the things that it does that just drives me out of my mind. We got guys up and down the dial wasting hours at a time talking about numbers like that, like it means something. Some cat's telling me 300,000 people gave up looking for work. That guy that's telling me that, by the way, is a conservative who supposedly values work. Well, then what have you got to say about these 300,000 that gave up looking for work? What, are you blaming Obama for that? Mr., you know, individual initiative? We need a whole lot less of this stuff, I'll tell you that, man. These numbers just drive me out of my mind, you know.
The other one, too, they're talking about, like the national growth and stuff.
Guys that pay attention to those numbers, all those numbers crunchers, economists who are asked over and over again, well, what does it mean? And what historically does it mean? And what Keynesian this and something else? And these guys will give us their idea, like many scientists, as to what should happen, and it doesn't happen because there's so many other variables out there. They take those numbers and they say, well, that means that thus and so and this and that and something else. I had heard of one guy predict one thing right. All of a sudden now, get a load of this. All of a sudden, the economy is improving and we're, you know, the growth and everything, we're back on track. Last month, we were in the pits of hell. Last month! Not even 4 weeks ago. Oh, man, who knows when this is going to end? This could go on forever. This is the worst thing we've ever seen. This is the biggest, you know. Now, all of a sudden, well, we're on our way back. Now, I know that what they say is true, that that certain industries are gone forever. And this happens in the history of societies. You know, farming, let's just take an example. The rural life as we knew it in the 19th and 18th century, that came to an end. It's over. Thomas Jefferson, everybody loves to quote Thomas Jefferson. He was a rural guy. He believed that America should be anti-European. He believed that Americans should be farmers. We should be craftsmen and farmers. Screw all of that big industry stuff. Screw all of that textile mill jazz. That's the British. That's the French. No, we don't need that. In America, we're going to be farmers. He was really into that yeoman kinsman bullcrap, Jefferson. He would have been real disappointed if he lived a little bit longer because we weren't into that at all, man. We are a country that's all about the future, and we're all about, you know, invention, and we're all about looking and seeing how we can do things better. Machines always were a part of our future. Farming, as Jefferson saw it, was going to be the actual, this was going to be the defining industry, if you will, in America. No, it wasn't. Not by a long shot. Jefferson wrote one hell of a good independence, you know, Declaration of Independence. As far as everything else goes, he wasn't much. So here comes all this invention. Now, what has been a standard way of living for thousands of years, thousands, all of a sudden in the 19th century, it went away, man. Not completely, but to the point now where we have something called the urban life, living in the city, and the industry that created. All right, well, guess what? Welcome to another chapter in the evolution of man. There are other industries that are going away. Now, either we're going to get used to it, and we're going to get smart, or we're not. And I don't give a damn if it says 8.6% this or something else. You know, we have to recognize there's some reality. Number one, we're stupid. We're not graduating enough people in the right categories, you know, arts and sciences.
Yeah, they're talking about what are they saying? Instead, there's too many Chinese doing it.
Too many Chinese doing what? Are you talking about science?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, too many Chinese. The fact is there's not enough native-born Americans. Everybody wants to be a freaking movie star, you know?
Yeah, everybody want to be on X Factor. Yeah, how do we get people to stop doing that?
Here's a great idea. Why don't you stop watching it, bud?
I don't want to. I think it's bitching.
Good Lord, dude. So, yeah, so there's some stuff we got to do, you know. But The first thing we got to do is we got to quit crying about all this unemployment stuff. Okay. I wish we had an iron swine to do or something, man, because God, am I bored. I can't wait for this show to end. I mean, I can't wait for it to end.
You just want it to end, man, because it's Saturday.
Yeah, but then I get, tonight we're doing the KFI show at 7 o'clock here in L.A. All right, we'll be right back. I'm just kidding. I can wait for it to end, but I'd rather not. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. We will be right back with our final segment with Bud, with me, with Robert, and the News and Information Hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Somebody said, you know, we were talking about The View and how is that news? How is it that when they report on what they said on The View, and there isn't anybody that reports on what is said on The View as news that can come on my radio show and justify that. Not a one.
Oh, a lot of people watch it.
A lot of people watch the NFL today, man. Every single day, are you reporting on... Now, seriously, are you reporting on... No, I'm not just talking about sports now. Because if it was just about sports, then I would say that The View is just about chick talk. But it ain't about chick talk, because it gets reported like it's news. The NFL today is The View for men. That's what that is. If you watch the NFL on Fox or you watch it on CBS, I call it the NFL today, I call it just the NFL, whatever the hell, CBS or Fox or even SportsCenter, that's The View for men. You want to know, that's why that show that they came up with Dick Clark, what the hell was that called anyway?
Called, like, the gay Hour.
Yeah.
What was the name of the show, bud?
I don't know.
The Gay Hour. It was called
The Other Half.
The Other Half? Was that what that was?
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, that was a bunch of guys sitting around talking crap. And they were trying to do a guy version of the View. All it was a bunch of dudes trying to metrosexual stuff. I mean, it was the stupidest show I ever saw in my life because it had nothing to do. It was, if you wanted to do The View, well, then don't do it just with guys. I don't know what they were doing. The fact is, The View for men is any sports show on Sunday. Now, what are they talking about? I have... some heartbreaking news for you. The NFL on Sunday is viewed with as much disdain and it is looked down upon by as many people as we look at The View. In other words, it seems like a bunch of nonsense, doesn't mean anything, bunch of jackasses talking about nothing. And quite frankly, that's what it is. It just so happens I like the nothing they're talking about, and you do too. It's called football. But you boil it all down, it doesn't mean anything. Football, what is that? It's a game. It's an entertainment product. It's one hell of a popular entertainment product. But nonetheless, it's an entertainment product, and that's all it ever will be. And it doesn't have any real value. Like I've often said, you might as well be juggling. You know, a juggler, a clown walking on stilts, has the same value to society as a football player. There's no difference. It's one form of entertainment versus another. Some people try to make it, you know, I love how people say, boy, you know, I'm not about money. I'm about quality. Oh, is that right? You're not about money? You know what we do? We always make it about the money because that's what we give, that's what we think gives validation to something. Well, the NFL, look at all the money it makes. Well, that's, boy, we really go to that one, don't we? For a bunch of people that don't really value money and we think there's too much talk about money and we think that we need to have some more values than just money, we talk a hell of a lot about money. We ain't got enough. We're paying too much.
Yeah, but money's important and everything.
It's important, so don't be telling me that you ain't about it. So, the NFL makes a lot of money. That's how they imagine themselves to be a more valuable and a more dignified and somehow even a more vital and important product than a clown walking around on stilts or on a unicycle.
Now, I don't see that, man. You tell me, like a Ringling Brother clown?
Yeah, like the one time we seen the clown come out of a car.
The one time we seen the clown, you talk about the clowns that come out of the car?
Yeah, they got about 100 of them.
Yeah, all those clowns that come spilling out of a car, same value as the NFL football.
No way, man. If NFL football, you could get killed.
Oh, really? You telling me that a guy on a high wire can't get killed? Some guy fooling around with lions? One of those guys, you know.
What, like a lion tamer?
Yeah, don't they have those?
Not they used to, man. I don't have them anymore.
Well, you know what I mean. So so that's the NFL, and that's guy talk. Now, The View, but do you think I consider that to be news? Football's news, to a point. But what those jackballs are talking about ain't never going to make the news. It's important to me. It's important to my friends. And it's important to whatever. But The View, these women run their big fat mouths. My God, every day it's in the news. Boy, did you hear what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said? And Barbara Walters, boy, she said something, and I swear to God, she kept her teeth in this time. And another thing, and they got another fat chick who's, you know, now they always find the fattest chick to be the head of the thing, too. What's that about? You talk about sexism. You talk about pigeonholing a woman, or not, as the case may be.
What do you mean?
But I know what you mean. I always have, like, the fattest, ugliest one is the one that runs the show.
Exactly. And I shouldn't say that, but it was Rosie, and then it became Whoopi, and, you know, who knows, man? Precious?
Precious. Think I had Precious to be on a View.
Anyway, so that's not news. That's not news. And as a man said, I don't know what man, but he was a smart man. He said, news is now a product. It's not, you know, either news is news or it isn't. I mean, what's the news? I don't know. I mean, news is, you know, it's news. There was a time when news was a very defined thing, shipping, and I'm talking about just, you know, if we go back to a time before there was this nonsensical reporting that started in New York with the New York World and different papers like that that started to report on crime, murder, suicides, incest. This was the daily, this became the daily appetite. This filled the daily appetite of New Yorkers starting in the mid-19th century when the New York World started to publish. Because all of a sudden, what is that? This is what people want to hear about. Before that, it was shipping, news from Washington, international diplomatic. It was basically, a lot of it came from the ships that parked at New York Harbor. What do you know? What's happening in Europe? And they would run down to the harbor, and they'd talk to the guys, and they'd run to the newspaper office. They'd print that stuff up. That was news. And then along came the World and said, geez, you know, we're going to make some, we got a lot of people who want to read news in this town, man. I ain't going to give them shipping news. I'm going to give them murders, and I'm going to give them suicides. And that's what they started printing for a penny. They were called penny sheets. And that became news. Well, I don't know, but I know one thing. It changes, and it's now no longer just information, and now it's a product. We have better news than they do. We have this news, and they only have that news. Look what our news is. We're Fox News. Well, what is that? It's fair and balanced. Oh, and this is, well, we're CNN, and we don't have our heads in our asses. Oh, and we're MSNBC, and we're jive ass. Great. See, so it's no longer really news, folks. It's colored by a lot of editorializing, so long as you know that. So long as you know that, then you can be your own news editor. Now, here's something that I don't know whether it's colored by editorializing or the time that we have left. It's the most bizarre story I've ever read. Singer Mindy McCready, she and her son Xander are in custody after police discovered the mother and child hiding in a cupboard or something, or in a closet. Officials from the Florida Department of Children and Family said the boy is safe. The agency's working to bring him to Arkansas. The development is the latest in a four-day saga that began when McCready and her son vanished after a visit at her father's. She refused to return Xander to the care of her mother despite predetermined custody. I'm doing all this to protect Xander, not to stay out of trouble, McCready wrote in an email to the Associated Press. McCready said Xander was in her Tennessee home when she spoke out on Thursday, but said she couldn't travel. Anyway, she's in jail. So's her son. What a weird ass. God.
Poor kids.
But there you got it, man. Poor kids is right. Freaking nuts. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. We will see you guys tonight for our KFI show, which is right here on philhendryshow.com, on our website, philhendryshow.com, and Phil TV in HD. See you Monday night for the national show. And don't forget, this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.